Hello, and welcome to Online Courses That Sell, where experts share their experience and knowledge to help fast-track you to online success. I'm Tim Cooper. In mid-2014, I decided trading hours for money just wasn't for me. I created my first online course, which went live on December 30. During the process, I learned a number of new skills and am far more confident when it comes to creating online courses. In February 2015, I started a new project called eCourseDomination.com, which over time will become a resource full of tips and tricks, as well as free and paid training programs for those looking to create an online passive income through course development. During this call, we're going to be covering some very important key aspects of online product creation. We'll be discussing topic selection, how to outline and plan your course content, how to produce your course, where to publish it, and some tips on promoting. So let's get on with the interview. Today, I'm talking with Miguel Hernandez, founder and CEO of Grumo Media. I first came across Miguel and his course, How to Create an Awesome Online Course on Udemy, back in mid-2014, when I was looking for guidance on how to create my own online course. What really hit me when going through Miguel's material was not only his passion, but you can see he loves every moment. He draws you in and entertains you while delivering top quality content. Miguel has got the points on the board. He's a top-rated Udemy instructor, having sold thousands of his courses on various platforms. And with that being said, I'd like to welcome Miguel to the call. Welcome, Miguel.
Hello. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Thank you. It's an awesome honor to have you here with us today. So let's get started. And can I ask you, at what point did you discover the potential in creating your own online courses?
Well, that would be back in 2010. I just had started my animation studio, Grumo Media, and then I came across this interview at a show called Mixergy.com. It's an online podcast that interviews successful founders, and then in this interview, I heard about this girl. Her name is Laura Roeder, and basically, she was 25 years old, and she was already making close to $300,000 U.S. a year selling online courses, teaching very basic stuff like how to use social media, Facebook and Twitter. And I thought, man, that's pretty amazing. I'm sure I could create a course where I could teach people some of my skills. And my skills are in animation. So I decided to create a very thorough course on how to create demo videos. That's exactly what we do here at Grumo Media. And that's how basically the idea came to create that first course.
Awesome. And that's fantastic. And so from there, can you just give us a little bit of rundown of from how you've built onto that and where you are now, the number of students you've got, and your average income level through your online courses?
Oh, of course. So right now, I have 8 courses on Udemy. I also post them on other places, but mainly Udemy is my main source of income for online courses. And total of students on Udemy, I surpassed 10,000 students, I think, about a month ago. But I also have students through my website. So I think in total, I probably have close to 15,000 students across my website and other platforms on Udemy. And in terms of monthly income, it goes up and down. And, but I would say it's an average about $6,000 to $8,000, US in selling courses.
Yeah. That's amazing. There is really, a big market for online learning these days. So, what would you say are the main benefits of creating your own online courses?
Well, there is 2 benefits. The obvious one is that if you put a price to any product online, an informational product, then you can have the benefit of a passive source of income. Because once you create the animation, it's going to take you, maybe a couple of weeks, a month to put it together. But if it's a good product, it will sell. And then you have the benefit of, I did this product and now it's generating income. The other benefit is just the satisfaction of sharing knowledge about something you're passionate, because it's kind of like leaving a digital legacy right? Some people write books, some people make sculptures, some people build bridges. And if you work on the internet, sharing your knowledge in a digital format is kind of like leaving a legacy and also helping other people to create stuff, to learn stuff. And I think that's very satisfying.
Yeah, I agree. That is fantastic. Now, one question that comes up a lot is, can anybody create an online course?
That's like, can anybody be an actor? Or yeah, you know what? I think anybody can create a course. Now, how good the course is, that may be a different story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
I think the main key ingredients to create an online course is you have to know the subject, and you gotta be very passionate about it. And also, you have to be able to, I mean, a lot of people are not comfortable being in front of a camera or recording their voice. So at the beginning, it'll be hard, but if you get over that and you're passionate about what you're teaching, you can create a very compelling course. And people are very forgiving. My courses, I make several mistakes, and I have 8 courses, but I wouldn't consider myself like a professional teacher, right? I never learned how, you know, I never went to school in order to learn how to teach. But I think being genuine and relaxed in the camera and passionate, it's the most important thing. So if you have those ingredients, you can be successful as an instructor online for sure.
Awesome. And what sort of advice would you give to somebody who's saying, look, I want to teach something, I've got these skills, but I just don't know what topic to teach. I'm worried that it's not going to sell. I'm worried that nobody's going to be interested in the course. What sort of advice would you give somebody who's asking you those questions?
Well, I get those questions asked all the time, specifically because one of my courses is teaching people how to create courses. So then people are like, oh, what skills do I need? What software do I need? And the reality is that it's you need so little. The learning curve is actually pretty low compared to other skills that you could want to, like learning how to program or something like that. Create an online course. All you need is a laptop, which now they're very affordable. Ideally, a laptop with a webcam, which most of them come with a webcam. And then you just need a couple pieces of software, one that records your screen and your webcam, and then another one that allows you to edit the video. And that's pretty much it. So really, there's really not that many skills or like technical skills or equipment that you need to get started. Obviously, if you want to get to the next level, you could, you know, get more professional equipment, like video equipment and an expensive Microsoft or something like that. But really, the entry level, it's so easy that I think almost anybody could do it.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I know when I did my first course, I did a mixture of talking head, like on-camera stuff, and screencast. And for the on-camera stuff, I used a mix between my own smartphone and also a head-mounted GoPro because I was doing demonstration stuff. So very, very cheap. And then I was just using a $40 headset microphone for the screencasting. So, yeah, it's not a lot of money to get started.
Yeah.
You say that you've got 8 courses.
Yes.
How do you select a hot topic that you know is actually going to sell and be popular?
Well, I don't select them much because I think they're going to be popular. Because I'm going to devote time. I'm going to invest time in producing it. I want to make sure that, you know, eventually it's going to sell. But the reality is that I created 8 courses and none of them have been very successful. I'd say the how to create animations, you know, demo videos, and the how to create online courses are quite successful, but the other ones are like, you know, not that successful. I think the strategy could be something like this. Make sure that you are very passionate and knowledgeable about what you're teaching, because even if there are other courses that are similar, if yours has really good quality, then that will allow you to attract the right, you know, more people. Because It's like everything. It's like YouTube videos. There's a million of them, but most of them are pretty crappy. So if you put more effort and passion into it, you're likely to produce a product that can differentiate itself from the others and attract more clients. Now, there are topics that are more popular than others, depending on, you know, what's popular at that time. For example, programming courses are super popular. And those are the, like, at Udemy are probably the top sellers. But the problem is now there's so many of them, it's very hard to differentiate yourself. The same with, like, creating web development or creating websites and stuff like that, right? I created a course on how to start a website with WordPress, and it's done okay. But, you know, not even close to the sales of my first two other courses, right? So it's kind of tricky how to select a topic. Definitely, I think you could teach anything if you weren't an expert, as long as you do a lot of research and then you provide a lot of value on how do you present that information in a way that is entertaining, is fun to watch, and very informative, right? It also helps, I mean, there's many variables, but it also helps. You know, how did you do you write your sales page, the thumbnail on your course, the pricing, that you are very quick at giving, responding to any questions. So, you know, the more effort you put into all of those aspects, the higher your sales will be for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. And I do notice with your courses, you are high energy and entertaining. And that is a big thing. You actually do draw the student in and get their attention, which is a big thing.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. I mean, I'm just being myself, right? So that helps. I think it's very important. Before I started doing my first course, I thought, what did I like about my teachers and what I didn't like? And I thought, if I was ever going to be a teacher, I try not to be boring because I sat through like lectures and everybody has where you're like, oh my god, when is this thing gonna be over? It's like and I'm like, I don't want to be one of those guys that just sits down with a monotone voice and just delivers information, which could be very valuable information, but if it's delivered like something very boring, like a history documentary or something like that, then people are gonna get bored. And the reality is that, you know, we have an opportunity now to mix both, you know, entertainment and education. And that's something that I think that helps people be more interested. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Now, do you outsource any of your course creation tasks or do you do everything by yourself?
I do everything by myself because, like I say, really, you need so little equipment to do it. That it's pretty simple to do it yourself, even without much technical skills. Now it can get very tedious if you have a big course, because my average course has about 70 lectures, right? And each lecture is anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes. So we're talking a lot of videos. There are a lot of videos that you have to record, edit, compress, and upload. Right. So those are the steps. Yeah. And every step, you know, takes a, you know, time. So when you multiply that for, you know, 50, 70 times, and then when you make a mistake, you have to fix and all of that. Well, you're talking several hours or days or just tedious work. Right. So that's what makes it a little bit challenging.
Now, I've been there.
Yeah.
Like when you're shooting something, all of a sudden you realize you're not recording. That's always fun.
I know.
Okay, so what would you advise somebody as the first step when it comes to creating a successful online course?
The first step. The first step is choose a topic, right? So what I do personally, I have a spreadsheet with a list of topics, right, that I think there will be, I will enjoy teaching, and I think that I have certain skills already in them that I could teach and make a pretty reasonable course, right? So what I do, I have that list, and then I keep looking back at it, right? And I also look at the market and the other courses and what other people are charging for similar courses. And then eventually I settle on one. Now, this is for new courses because, like I said, when I did my first course, it was very easy to choose. It was like, okay, I have an animation studio. I'm going to teach how to do animations, right? Now, yeah. But if you are not sure how to get started or you have many different ideas, that's one way. Just keep a list on a spreadsheet and just keep thinking about it and doing research on all those different topics. And eventually, you should give yourself a deadline on when to like settle down, because what happens with most of these things is like, I wish I want to have a course, and then you never get to it because you get too busy or whatever. So it's important to say, okay, you know, maybe by the end of this month, I'm going to settle down on a topic, and that's what I'm going to do. And then you start developing that specific course. So that's one way.
Awesome. And obviously deadlines are important. Otherwise it will go on and on forever and never get there.
Exactly.
As long as other things. Now, so as you've already mentioned, putting a course together is a big job.
Yes.
So what tips and tricks can you give for outlining and structuring your course content?
Well, I have a specific way, which I teach on my course, but it's pretty straightforward. The way I do it, I love Excel, Excel and spreadsheets. So I pretty much run my business with spreadsheets. It seems to be pretty common among, internet entrepreneurs. but I do the same thing for courses. I open an Excel sheet, and then I create for each column is going to be a section, like a chapter. Mm-hmm. And then under each of those columns, I have a title for each of the lectures, right? So if I have 70 lectures total, let's say that for each chapter, I have 10 lectures, right?
Yep.
So yep. Each column is going to be a chapter, and each row is going to be a lesson. And then next to each title for each lesson, what I do is I mark whether it's completed or not, something like that, right? And that mm-hmm. way, you can keep track of how much you've done and how much you have left to do in a very simple way. So basically, you look at this spreadsheet, and in one look, you can have a sense of how big is going to be the entire task and how much you've progressed. And that helps you all the time, you know, situate yourself on how big the project is, right? And to progress, right? Because you see it there visually. So that's kind of like my system.
And how important do you think it is to actually appear in front of the camera? That's one thing that people sort of a lot of people try to steer away from and just do straight screencasting.
I think it depends on the person. It works for me, but it also depends on what kind of course you're doing. I think if, for example, if you want to speak directly to your students and address them because you're talking about something that is not related to what you're showing on the screen, right? So maybe just want to make a point. I think it's important they can see your face. There is advantages of people seeing your face besides that is that they will develop a stronger emotional connection with the instructor. I mean, you always like to know who you paid money to learn from, and also who is this person that is teaching me, right? Is it just a voice? Mm-hmm. Well, a voice always going to come from a human being. Who is the human being that I'm listening to for all these hours, right? So once you see that face, I don't know. I think it helps people to, you know, trust you more and to be more willing to listen to you and to remember you as well, right? Which are great things if they, you know, if you have more than one course, you know, if they see your face again or they remember who you were, they'll be more likely to buy more courses from you, right? But, I mean, sometimes you don't want to show your face. In my courses, sometimes I show it and sometimes I don't. And I try not to show it if I think it's going to distract too much from what I'm talking about. For example, in programming courses, the ones that I've enjoyed the most, they don't actually have a face because you have to be so focused on the code that seeing somebody else's face while you're trying to decipher what's going on the screen would be distracting. So you really have to use common sense when you're when you use your webcam to record your face or not. But I think overall, at least whichever course or topic you choose, sometime during the course, people should see your video. And I think specifically at the beginning when you're introducing your course, so they can get a sense of who you are, and you're like, my name is Miguel Hernandez, I'm an instructor, I do this because X and Y, and I hope you really enjoy this course. And there you go, people already saw your face, they know who they're listening to, and now maybe you can turn off the camera and let people concentrate on what you're teaching on the screen. And then at the very end of the course, I think it's also good to say goodbye and for people to see your face and kind of like have a sense of closure. Yeah. Now, I know it's hard for a lot of people to be in front of camera, but if you try to you do the effort, I think the benefits outweigh any possible fears that you may have.
That's very true. Like I know myself that I do appear on camera at the beginning and at the end.
Yes.
I do on-camera work during the course, but you don't necessarily see my face because it's a demonstration. I'm actually demonstrating a physical skill.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, definitely it's good to make that connection, I believe, as well. So let's briefly touch on some techie stuff, because I know people get bogged down on what sort of microphone and software, and can they shoot off their smartphone, and how to embed videos into presentations. And look, the list of excuses and queries is endless.
Of course.
So yeah. I'd like to ask you how you got over all that techie stuff and how you got beyond it all and got your course to market.
Okay, well, I was lucky because I already worked in an industry that kind of forced me to be somewhat techie, because I was producing videos and animation. So everything video and audio I already knew. But I still wanted to, you know, make it as simple for me as possible, because I know working in the industry how complex and expensive equipment can get and software. So I'm like, well, you know, I don't know if this is going to go anywhere, so I'm going to do the minimum investment and get the maximum possible quality. And the good thing is that because technology now is so awesome and so affordable, you can get really good quality audio and video without having to spend a lot of money. So I really went for the minimum possible investment. And I think nobody has really complained about the quality of my videos. And I know they could be a lot better. But in the end, people, I think they focus more in like, can I hear properly? Can I see properly? And this is delivered in a way that I can follow and understand, and it's entertaining, right? So as long as you meet those criteria, I don't think you should worry too much about, you know, spending too much money in equipment. I personally just use a MacBook Pro that, you know, it's about 3 years old now, and that's all I basically need, because in terms of hardware, because it's fast enough. It encodes video fantastically. It has a webcam that is high definition, and it comes with embedded microphones, stereo microphones that cancel background audio automatically. So you get really clean audio and video with just one laptop. Now, in terms of software for Macintosh, I use ScreenFlow, which allows me to record my screen and my webcam and microphones in one shot. So it's amazing. You know, it's just great to do computer presentations. Oh, that's all you need basically to get started. And then to do the actual presentation, I use Keynote, which is like PowerPoint for Macintosh, right? And that's it. You know, I create a presentation, and then I turn on ScreenFlow and I start talking and going over the presentation. And when I'm done, I just press stop, and then I review the video on ScreenFlow and I edit any of the mistakes that there may be. And I also try to play with the audio levels a little bit just to make sure that people can hear properly. And you can do all of that in ScreenFlow. So those are the tools that I use that I personally use, right? Now, if you're using Windows computer or PC, then the equivalent software would be PowerPoint for presentations, and to record your screen and webcam and audio, you would use Camtasia, or if you don't want to spend money, you could get a free alternative, which is called Cam Studio, right? So that's pretty much all you need to get started.
And I must admit, that's one thing that I did notice with your course, and gives you a lot of confidence when you say, look, I don't have to go out there and break the budget. I can just use this equipment, and as you're saying, yeah, sure, like the video is in studio quality, but it is fine enough for the job at hand. The audio is great. And I think audio is probably one of the more important things. If people can hear you properly, they're going to forgive a poor video. So exactly right.
That's right.
So we're coming back to that time-consuming task of creating a course again. So what tips can you give to stay focused and on task, and just actually make sure that you actually get the course finished and to market?
I think what people really need to do is prepare a schedule. I use my entire life is organized around Google Docs, and I use Google Calendar, but you could use any other calendar system, right? And then I basically set myself reminders. So I try to put aside as much time as I can while I'm doing the course. So maybe 3 or 4 times a week, I set, a couple of hours or 3 hours, whichever, however many hours I have available. And then I put that on the calendar, and I have the calendar to send me a reminder both by email and by SMS to my phone, just in case I forget. But I'm always in front of the computer, so it's hard for me to forget because I'm looking all the time on the calendar. Mm-hmm. But it is, again, because you see that on the calendar laid out as the same way that I do for the entire course and the lectures and the chapters, it gives you a sense of, okay, how big is this task? And I think it really helps to understand visually how much work and how long it's going to take in advance, because otherwise it may seem like a daunting task. It's like, how long is this going to take? Is it going to be months, and how many lectures? But if you already have done all this preparation in advance, both laying out all the lectures and also a schedule, a map of when you're going to be recording, that's going to help you a lot, definitely.
Fantastic. And what advice would you give to somebody who is holding off publishing until their course was perfect?
That is actually a really good point, because it happens to me and everybody. We don't want to publish stuff out there that we think it could be better. I even have my own brother. I've been trying to get him to do courses for almost 2 years now, and he's a perfectionist. And the problem with being too much of a perfectionist is that perfection is unattainable, which means you're setting yourself to never publish the course, because it's never going to be perfect. So you have to be able to live with publishing something that you know is not perfect. But you did your best. Because you're not going to spend your entire life trying to finish this course, right? That's why you're setting yourself some deadlines. So you're going to do your best. It's not going to be 100% perfect, but let's say it's, 80, 90% of what you wanted. Then it's okay. Just let it go. Just put it out there. And the beauty of online courses is that, okay, if something is not perfect, or if people, because you're going to get feedback, right? If there's mistakes, or if there's something you need to fix, or you always can keep improving. It's not like once you upload it, there's nothing else. You cannot do anything. You cannot change it, right? No, you can go back and fix it as many times as you want to. So trying to release something that is perfect, it really doesn't make sense. It's just going to make yourself never do it, right?
Mm. Yeah, so the story is, get it to market and then perfect it, or not, but improve it along the way based on your students' feedback, and
yes,
you can add and change things and everything else along the way.
Exactly. Yeah.
But at least, at least it's out there making some money for you.
Exactly. The sooner you release it, the sooner you find out if there is a market for it, if people are willing to pay money for it, and then whatever you'll get feedback earlier to make it better. So really, just get on with it and publish it.
Awesome. And now there are many options when it comes to publishing your courses online.
Yes.
And what are your recommendations based on your personal experience?
Well, my personal experience, it's mainly with Udemy, udemy.com, and it's been great. Now, it's important to have realistic expectations. Now, in my case, I became an instructor on Udemy on the early days of Udemy. So there was less competition and there were less instructors. So Udemy spends a lot of marketing dollars in promoting their courses. Now, if there are less courses to promote, more of those marketing dollars go to each course. So in a sense, I was very lucky because when I published my first courses, there was less competition, which meant they spent more money in promoting my courses. So I very early on started getting a lot of students. But what has happened is that Udemy has grown in number of students and instructors. So now in a sense, it's harder, but they also have a lot more money because they've grown almost exponentially. So it could be what I'm saying. It's hard for me to prove, but I know it's harder, but I know there's a lot of new courses that, are less than, 2 or 3 months old and are doing extremely well. Which means that there's always room for really good courses out there. In terms of other platforms, I've been contacted by many of them. I have a list of maybe 50 different platforms because once people found out that the Udemy's model was working very well, a lot of kind of clones have appeared, right? In all countries, I've been contacted from China and from Russia, from everywhere, South America, and I've published my courses to test, in other platforms. And I think it's a good strategy because you never know which platform may work the best or not. But the reality is that I think Udemy is quite far ahead in the game. So, and also the fact that I started earlier means that my sales are, so much higher on Udemy than anywhere else. But I would recommend you to try at least 3 or 4 different platforms, because who knows, and really that really doesn't hurt, just to test other places, just so you don't rely on one specific platform. That's why I also recommend always to publish your courses on your own through your own website. This requires more work, but it's also nice to have a backup in case, Udemy gets acquired and dissolved, or you never know what may happen because things change really quickly on the internet, right? So it's like put your eggs on several baskets, and that way, you always will have some alternate source of income in case one of them doesn't work.
That's great advice too. And as we know, when you're going onto other people's platforms, they make the rules,
yeah,
and they can change the rules at any time.
That's true.
And they can either work for you or against you. And self-hosting, I've recently moved my course over onto my own site as well.
Yes.
And set up an affiliate program. And you know yourself, you're hosting your own.
Yes.
It's basically 2 or 3 WordPress plugins.
Yes.
And you're away. It's very, very easy to set up yourself.
Yeah, it's easy. Like, it's so much easier than even 3 years ago because there's so many new plugins that are free or very affordable, and you can set up your own Udemy in a matter of hours.
Yep, that's it. It is getting easier to self-publish everything from books to courses. It's really the market is ours to take.
Exactly.
So, what do you think is the main reason why a course would fail to sell?
Main reason, it could be a combination of many reasons, like death by a thousand cuts, or it could be like your course really sucks. And then there you go. That's your answer. That's the main reason. But, you know, you have to look at all the variables because all of them are going to affect. I don't think there's just one thing. I mean, the main thing could be that there is no market for it. Really, nobody really cares about it. It could be produced wonderfully. You could be the best instructor and very smart and engaging. But really, people don't care about it. Like, I don't know, maybe they don't, I can't think of some topic, but maybe you're a cabinet maker. But you're very, you know, you have a very specific type of cabinets that you like to make. And you're like, I'm going to do a course on the on a special cabinet made out of oak or something. And then nobody cares about that. And you have the best course, you spend 3 months doing it, and nobody buys it. So what's the reason? The reason is probably because you didn't do a little bit of research. And there's many ways of doing research to find out if people are going to like something. You could look at Google Trends for specific keywords, see if people are actually doing searches online for that. Remember that a lot of the traffic and sales are going to come through organic searches, looking for like how to do this, how to do that. So you appear on the top results, you may get more sales. But if that is specific search that would land on your course is not existing, in other words, people are not searching for that, then that means that there's not really a market for it, right? So don't expect to have many sales if nobody really is looking for that, right? So that would be the first thing to do, make sure that people are actually looking for that. And there are many ways that could be an entire course by itself on trying to figure out whether or validating a market. I think the simplest way is what I did with my first course, which is before you actually go ahead and spend 2 months of your time doing a good course, is create a sales page. Just introducing the course, but you haven't done the course. You're just introducing it and saying what you're going to cover, how awesome it is. Create a little intro video where you're basically selling the course. And then you can either do one or two things. You can either start charging right away for the course at a discount because you haven't produced it yet, all right? Or you can just have a sign-up button saying, if you're interested on taking this course at a discount, just give me your email. And once it's finished, I'll let you know. So what you're doing at this point, you're just trying to validate if people actually care about it. And I did that on my blog. Now, I was lucky because I had already some traffic to my blog. So I had about 1,000 unique hits a day on my blog. And that was enough for me to validate my animation course using exactly the same procedure, which was created a sales page, put a PayPal button, and I said, this is a discounted price for whoever signs up for the course early. And then that first month after I did that, I got 20 pre-sales. And that was enough for me to validate, okay, yeah, people are willing to buy a course on this. And then my strategy was, if there was not enough people or traction or interest, I would just return their money. And refunding money on PayPal is super easy. It basically is one click. So there was really little risk on my part, right, by doing so. Now, if you don't have traffic, then you're going to have to find a way of getting it. And the simplest way is paying for it, which it would take an entire new course on teaching you how to do ads and making sure they're well done so you can, you know, drive traffic to a landing page. But that's the other alternative. Create a landing page for your course and drive traffic, pay traffic to it through Google Ads or Facebook Ads or Twitter Ads or whatever. And then see how it converts. If it converts well, it's a good idea. If it doesn't convert well, maybe you have to tweak it or change your idea. So there you go. There's some tips there.
Yep. Gold. Absolute gold. Yeah. Okay, so moving on from that, so now you've actually got your course created, it's up online. So in your experience, what are the best methods to promote and sell your course once it's up and running?
Sorry, which methods to try?
Yeah, the best methods to use either on Udemy or what are your best promotion methods?
Oh, the best promotion methods. Okay, so there are bunch of things you can do. First of all, is if you have an email list, use that, right? Maybe start with your friends. Ideally, if you have a blog, you've already been collecting some emails from people, so you should have an email newsletter system like MailChimp or AWeber or something like that, where you're collecting email addresses, so you can do an email blast announcing the course. That would be one way. The other way is I always, for every idea I have, I start social media accounts everywhere. So basically I would go to YouTube and create videos talking about the course. I'll talk to it about it in my blog. I'll talk to it on Twitter and everything. You're basically trying to create a net so Google indexes you, and then people can find you, right? Some people, what they do is they create, they give out for free. This is actually a pretty good strategy. I haven't done it, but I know it's worked well for some people. They create a free version of the course, but it's kind of like a very simplified version. It's kind of like an introductory course to the real course, right? And they give that for free. Now, because the barrier of entry is so low, it's easy to get quite a bit of people on a free course, especially if it's well presented and the sales page makes sense and people care about the topic, right? And then this is great because you're going to get all these students that so you're not making any money, right? But you have all these people. You have kind of like this captive audience. And now they have an opportunity to see how you teach, to be engaged with your content, to get to know you. And basically what's most important, you start building trust. And because at the beginning, that's the main issue. It's like you're a new instructor. Nobody knows you. It's like, who is this guy, right? But if you give them a chance to get to know you for free, they may do it because there's very little downside, right? Just, you know, let's see what this guy has to talk about. And once you have, you know, several people, ideally, you know, a couple hundred of free students, what you want to do in that same free course is having an upsell somewhere in the course, maybe at the end, say, you know, by the way, if you want to take another course related or the full version of this course, go to here. And then you can buy it at a discount. Obviously, try to offer a discount so there's an incentive for them to take action right away. And that's another whole, philosophy, but a strategy how to get people to motivated to buy, right? So make sure that they feel that they're saving money, that is restricted in time, so the coupons or whatever you promote, they expire, so they have to take action within a certain amount of time. So that is, I think, a good strategy to get started promoting your course. And then there's many more things you can do, and you should try them all, right? Because at the end of the day, it's very hard to predict what's really going to work for you. It could be like maybe somebody that is very influential. It's really likes your topic. And then, you know, you tweet to this person and the person is like, oh, yeah, I really like it. I really like it. And then they end up somehow, you develop a relationship with these people, which are very influential. And then eventually they decide to either review your course or tweet about your course. And suddenly what you're doing, you're leveraging that network. So maybe you had 100 followers, but maybe this person has half a million followers and you only need one tweet for this person to suddenly drive you hundreds of sales. And I know that personally because that's how I started my business. On my third video, Ashton Kutcher tweeted that video. Now I was mega lucky because I actually never reached out to him. He just happened to know about this company that I did the video for, and he really liked the video genuinely, and he tweeted it. So, and I could see, wow, suddenly from almost not being an unknown on the industry, my business was super busy, right? So that strategy is amazing, definitely.
For sure. Okay, we're coming to the end of the session, so I just want to see, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd really like to add before we wrap up?
I think we've covered the basics of create an online course, publishing it, selling it, promoting it. But it is a very fascinating topic. Obviously, we could keep talking for hours about it. But I think your audience may get a good introductory idea of what it takes to create an online course.
You've given us some real gold and some very, very good pointers and direction. So where can people learn more about you and your courses?
Well, it's very simple. If you go to Grumo Media, GRUMOmedia.com, that's where I have some of my courses, and you'll find out about me and my animation studio. That's kind of like the main reference point, for sure.
Fantastic. Okay, Miguel, look, I'd like to thank you very, very much for talking with me today. You've shared so much valuable information, and I really, truly appreciate you giving this information so freely.
My pleasure.
I think if people go out there and action your advice, they'll be online with some successful courses in no time.
All right. Well, it was my pleasure, Tim.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so there you have it. Thank you so much for listening. And again, that was Miguel from GrumoMedia.com. I'd just like to briefly review some of the key points that Miguel shared with us. First and foremost, topic selection and making sure that there is a market for your course. This is an important consideration if you really want your course to be successful. Now, we're not saying that you can't create any course on any topic that you want. If you're quite happy to make an extra $100 or $200 a month by sharing something that you're very passionate about, well, that's your choice. And by all means, go for it. But if you want to make a decent residual income, then you want to make sure that a market exists prior to creating the course. Miguel also shared a lot of very useful tips on how to plan out your course content and the simple and cost-effective way you can record your material using a PC with its built-in camera and microphone. You don't need to have a big recording studio to get your course up online. And also, just as importantly, your product doesn't have to be perfect from the outset. Just get it done and get it out there. Listen to the feedback from your students and make improvements along the way. It's very easy to correct things and swap units in and out as time goes by. Now, Miguel and I actually chatted for a bit after the interview, and he just happened to mention that he doesn't take a lot of time these days to promote his courses because his primary focus is his animation studio. Yet, he still enjoys a $6,000 to $8,000 US dollar per month residual income from course sales. Is that the sort of income you'd be interested in earning while concentrating on other things? It just goes to show the potential of putting the time and effort in once, publishing it online, then spending some time promoting and maintaining your course. You really can generate a substantial income without being tied to your computer. Now, Miguel was also kind enough to provide us with some half-price coupons for all of his courses, and you will find links to all the discounted courses on my site at ecoursedomination.com/Miguel. That's M-I-G-U-E-L. And there'll also be the link included at the bottom of the transcript of this call. So once again, thank you for listening to Online Courses That Sell Expert Interview Series. I trust you found this information useful. And if you have any questions, please feel free to contact me on asktim@ecoursedomination.com.